The markets. We just can't get enough of them.
Markets are the drivers of your wealth and investment strategy.
Welcome to Magic Markets with your co-hosts, the Finance Ghost and Mohammed Nallah.
Together, we have more than 25 years of combined experience in the markets.
For those looking to take their market and business knowledge to the next level, we offer Magic Markets Premium, a research report and podcast library that nearly has 100 reports in it and a new one every week, all available for just 99 Rand a month. Recent reports have included the likes of Kroger, Deere & Co., Foot Locker, McDonald's, UPS, Apple, Meta, Johnson & Johnson and Swatch. With broad variety and deep research, this is perfect for anyone looking to go to the next level. We invite you to join us in Magic Markets Premium. Go to magic-markets.com to subscribe. Welcome to episode 168 of Magic Markets. We heard from Justin Brophy of Anbro last week on two growth stocks that neither of us had ever really heard of. That's Madrigal and Myomo. Sounds like exotic tourist destinations, but they're not. Go back and listen to that show if you want to learn more about those stocks. This week, we are covering names that you've almost certainly heard, but that doesn't mean that the market can't dish up some big surprises and some dislocations in the share price performance. So that's the one great thing about the markets, Mo. They are full of surprises, even on names we know like Lululemon.
Full of surprises indeed. In fact, Lululemon's a stock we've covered on Magic Markets Premium. So if you're a premium subscriber, you're definitely familiar with them. It's a stock we recapped and have discussed in the context of other stocks we've covered, like Nike, for example. So that's Lululemon, and it's been a darling. It's been this fantastic brand. It's grown phenomenally. And then last week, and you're going to cover this, put out results. Market didn't like that. Massive dislocation, big downside pressure. The other one that caught our radar is one I'm going to cover. And I quite liked it because for me, Lululemon is very much symbolic of the new economy. It's a new brand. The one I'm going to cover is a lot more old school. And I would say this is a lot more real economy than new economy, and that's FedEx. And again, it's a stock we've covered before, but we're going to unpack this because they put out results last week. And guess what? The opposite to Lululemon. The market liked that. And we saw a sharp upward move. So what's been driving that? Let's get into the nuts and bolts. But Ghost, I'm going to let you go first with Lululemon. Simply because it's a more exciting. It's certainly a much fresher look. So Lululemon it is first, I would say.
Lululemon is such a great one to cover in the same week that we do Ferrari in premium because at the end of the day, both of those stocks are big price earnings multiples. And when that works, it's fine. And when that doesn't work, it's a problem. But more on that later. So if you read Lululemon's latest results, the one comment they make is that there has been a shift in US consumer behavior. Now, that is not what you want to hear when the previous behavior was really good, because it implies a deterioration. Still, Lululemon remains ahead of their major goals and their international business is strong. So has the market overreacted here on the drop in the share price, or is it perhaps just the function of a massive valuation? Well, let's dig in and have a look at the numbers. In the fourth quarter, which is what they've just released, revenue was up 16%. Doesn't exactly sound terrible, does it? America's up 9%, China 78%, rest of the world 36%. The accessories business, that stole the show, that was up 40%. Women's wear up 13% and men's wear up 15%. So it just shows how important it is to have broad appeal. I mean, we've seen this in something like Abercrombie & Fitch. It's something we're worried about in Under Armour, both stocks that we've now covered in Magic Markets Premium. And there's Lululemon, where their women's wear business is actually the slowest growing part of the business. Now, the share price might have tanked after these numbers, but Lululemon is still a fast growing monster, right? For context, the Essentials membership program in North America has more than 17 million members. Just contrast that to the size of the entire affluent market in a place like South Africa, for example. Obviously, the membership program is a great way to engage and drive spend and the lifetime value of these customers. And the company is happy with how all of that is going. So as we move deeper into Lululemon's latest results, it's not obvious that fourth quarter revenue growth was the big problem. And that means, Mo, we're going to have to go and dig some more after you've told us a little bit about FedEx.
Yeah, Ghost. I mean, that's really interesting because quite recently, even on Magic Markets Premium, we covered Under Armour. You know, that's a competitor in the space. And, you know, they were arguably the Lululemon all the way back in 2015. And then it unraveled. So I'm keen to see when you dig deeper, what you're going to unpack with Lululemon. Let me jump into FedEx. Now, by way of a recap, this is a stock that we first covered in January 2022. So a while ago, we then recapped it in August 2022 on our free show and then did a detailed recap in 2023 in April. So if you are a subscriber, go and have a look at the recap from April. That's really where you'll get the updated news. Now, back then, it was trading around $230 a share. And it was actually going to test the break. It had actually broken higher after really a strong correction, a corrective period. We were very bearish when we first covered it. The stock had corrected. It then bottomed out and actually started to rally. So by the time we did the recap in April last year, it had broken higher. It was actually testing that break in order to affirm what we had called a long bias. Now, how did that actually play out? Well, it played out reasonably well. And we actually saw the stock test the 200-week moving average in May 2023, shortly after we'd done the recap. It held that level and then established a new bull trend. Now, we had indicated a level around 250, which actually ended up being a pivot level. And it then extended and is currently trading around 280. So that's, we're now at our R2 level. We're not yet at the R3 level that we had indicated. And it shows you how in the traditional economy side of things, things can take a while to build up and the price action doesn't necessarily move as quickly as you're seeing in some of the more hyped up stocks. Fundamentally, back then, we had said it was 50-50 on the valuation and really one for the watch list. And we did highlight in our bull and bear box recaps how inefficient the business was. And so it indicated there was lots of room for improvement. And then secondly, we'd indicated as a risk the shift from air to rail to road that the business was undergoing. Remember, historically very strong on the air fleet side of things. That was a risk we had highlighted. And all of these really now coming through in terms of their third quarter results that they just put out last week. I'm going to save all of the detailed number stuff as my second talking point goes.
So let me get to my second talking point. And I've got more numbers for you here, but this time for the full year, not just the quarter, because I wanted to see if maybe that was the problem. So revenue for the full year was up 19%. Now this tells us that the fourth quarter was a slowdown because the fourth quarter was 16%. But still, these are big numbers, right? The Americas, they were up 12% for the full year versus 9% in the latest quarter. So there's the pullback in behavior that they are referencing. China, that actually accelerated. 67% for the year versus 78% latest quarter. Very nice. The rest of the world, bit of a slowdown there as well. Up 43% for the year versus 36% for the quarter. But still, the full year revenue result was more than enough, not just to appease shareholders, I think, but also to expand margins, which is so key. Adjusted operating margin was up 110 basis points. Now, this helped drive adjusted earnings per share growth of 27% versus 2022, which is a very strong result. Yes, Lululemon is on a huge PE multiple and they need to achieve that sort of growth, but that is a strong result. On a two-year stack, they are a 24% compound annual growth rate, or CAGR in revenue, 28% in adjusted earnings per share. That's very, very good, right? And that's in dollars. So the Lululemon brand is doing well, and it has grown strongly in the aftermath of the pandemic. So this was not just some athleisure fluke during the pandemic. This was not Peloton that kind of came and went. There is an overall casualization in the world that has certainly helped. And I think there's an overall focus on wellness and health and just meeting people bluntly. A lot of lessons learned from COVID perhaps. And these are some of the trends that we identified when we actually covered Lululemon in detail in our premium offering. On the whole, you can't fault their two-year historical growth, right? You really can't. So the problem has got to be forward-looking, which I will get to in my final point.
Yeah, Ghost, I'm smiling because, I mean, Lululemon's been a strong growth story, but not without their missteps. And why I was smiling is I remembered that misstep during the pandemic where they'd gone and bought a company called Mirror. It was kind of like along the lines of a Peloton. You looked at a mirror and you could exercise while looking into this mirror and there were classes. And it was really hyped up. They paid a lot of money for that. And why I'm smiling is I was at a mall probably a couple of months ago now, and the lady in the queue in front of me was talking to her daughter about how she had found this great deal on this mirror. And I just didn't have the heart to tell her, well, it's actually a business that Lululemon's shutting down. But yeah, I'm keen to see what else you can unpack there. Let me jump back into FedEx. So as I'd indicated, with the results released last week, we actually saw a beat on market expectations. But I want to qualify that because it was a beat on the earnings front, but not on the revenue front. And this is telling us some interesting things. So first and foremost, we actually saw a low single-digit decline in revenue for the year. And we actually saw the company's revenue down. So for the quarter, we're down at $21.7 billion. And that was below what the market expected, which was $21.95 billion. So a slight miss on that. But then when we have a look at earnings, we actually saw earnings per share at $3.86 per share. And the market's expectations were significantly below that at $3.49 per share. So that was the significant beat. That was why the market got so excited. It's why the stock actually rallied so strongly on these results. And the reason for it is really cost control. So let's dig a little bit deeper into this. And first of all, let's look at revenue by segment, because FedEx operates a series of businesses. The first one being FedEx Express. And in Express, we actually saw revenue decline 2% over the year. So that's showing you a little bit of pressure in that core part of the business. Remember, this makes up roughly half of the business. So it's important when you see a revenue decline come through there, that's going to impact the business as a whole. However, in this segment, operating income grew 110% over the same period. And that's really where the operating costs and the structural cost cutting that management told us they were doing when we covered the stock, you're starting to see the delivery of that. That's really what's so important. It's why the market's liking this, is you can actually beat on earnings because you're now delivering on the cost cutting. Look at the other segments. FedEx Ground was the only segment to grow their revenue in the third quarter, but it was very marginal. It was a 1% increase in revenue, and really due to an improved yield. They've been doing a lot of work in terms of optimizing how they pack their trucks, how they pack, you know, the kind of loads that they're sending out there, route optimization. And that's actually led them to actually improve their overall yield on their network. So again, that was the surprise. And then the third segment is freight revenue. And freight revenue disappointing, coming in at a decline of 3%. And this was largely due to lower fuel surcharges, which I found interesting because remember, they've got this ability to push, when they get fuel price increases, they can actually push some of those surcharges onto their customers. And so over the last quarter, we actually saw a decline in their ability to actually push through those fuel surcharges. And this led to an overall decline, like I say, 3% coming through there. Now, I want to touch on a couple of last points in this numbers section. I know I'm going slightly long on this particular segment, but there was a lot to unpack here. And the important thing here is that by June this year, the company plans to complete the consolidation of the Express, Ground, and Freight operating companies into a single interoperable organization. So again, what does this mean? It means there's going to be rationalization of costs. And they're really trying to eliminate duplicate networks. They're trying to get the business to run in a much more efficient manner. And this showcasing delivery on some of that, or at least indicating an intent. But let's go a little bit deeper on delivery, because we know what's happened with Boeing. So I had a look at this and I thought, is this related to Boeing or not? FedEx has actually parked 17 more freighter aircraft since November. They've also relinquished options to buy 7 Boeing 767 cargo jets. Now, you could say it's tied to Boeing, but it's actually tied to the fact that FedEx is rationalizing the fleet. They're doing more with less. And where they do actually acquire new aircraft, it will really be for fleet modernization. We know that they are replacing 9 McDonnell Douglas airplanes. That's an old fleet. They do have some incoming Boeings, 767s and 777s. And this should give them more efficiency on fuel consumption, on maintenance over a period of time. And I think that is testament to this overall multi-year cost-cutting efficiency drive that management certainly seems to be delivering on.
So the rearview mirror didn't give us the answer for Lululemon. So maybe we need to look ahead and we will find the wobbly in the share price. So what was it that caused the market to hit the sell button? Well, maybe it was the commentary about the year ahead. The US, that is their key market, even if China is growing really quickly. And that is where the slowdown is happening. So the market is not too excited about the more encouraging comments about the international business, like the relative underpenetration in those markets and how Lululemon can keep winning market share. Instead, they are focusing on the challenges in the US. Now, Lululemon's guidance for the 2024, or the next financial year, is revenue growth of 11 to 12%. That's not very exciting. Even worse, it's a 53-week period. If you strip that out, growth will be 10 to 11%. I mean, that is only just double digits. Gross margin, that is expected to be flat year on year. So at least there's no pain there. And they do think they can unlock 10 basis points in operating margin. This implies diluted earnings per share of $14 to $14.20 versus $12.77 in 2023. This is growth of 9.6% to 11.2%. I mean, that could be single digits on EPS. Now, the current share price, $389 at the time of recording, that is already a long way off the levels above $500 that we saw coming into this year. And it is still a forward PE based on this guidance of 27.6 times. That is a massive valuation, as Lululemon is famous for, especially on this growth rate of potentially single digits. Lululemon has delivered a share price compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of 21.9% over 5 years, 24.7% over 10 years. So it's been a fantastic story, great track record, really impressive, but the valuation multiple uplift has been far too big a part of that story, really, and now it's starting to look questionable. The share price is back to where it was in July 2021. And if you pay massive multiples and you buy at a relative top, you really can have a bad time. It's a warning that we give all the time on Magic Markets. If we just use price sales multiple as a very simplistic measure, and I promise I haven't lost my mind here and I'm suddenly going to only look at revenue multiples, but sometimes it's just a nice simple way to look at something. The current level, 5x, that is a relative low in the post-pandemic era, and even versus a year or two prior. But back in 2017, the sales multiple was under 3x. So in summary, as hard as this has fallen, I think it could fall more from these levels. This is still a big PE multiple. It remains scarily high. And we'll have to see what happens, of course, with the Lululemon share price. But when you're trading on a forward multiple of 27.5, there's room for things to get worse before they get better.
And what's unbelievable is that this is effectively yoga pants, right? I mean, yes, they're including an expansion into to clothing for men and so forth, but they're yoga pants. To demand that kind of valuation, I mean, when growth disappoints, it disappoints sharply. I was looking at a one-year chart on Lululemon just as you were speaking. And at one point in time, if we just say 12 months ago from where we are right now, the stock was up almost 64%. That was around the latter part of last year, just over that time period. And it's now given a lot of that back. We're only up over the last 12 months, 23%, call it 24%. And if we compare that to FedEx, because that's where I'm going to go with this, right? FedEx was actually down at one point in time, or flat, let's call it flat, and currently has now surpassed Lululemon. With the surge we saw last week, FedEx up 32% versus Lululemon's 24%, let's call it. And this, again, indicating to you that it's not all about the growth stock. Sometimes the old economy stuff is interesting. Now, why am I looking at this? You know, as my last point, I love to look at share price performance and the competitors. So I'm going to start off with the fact that FedEx is not a very healthy dividend payer. What I mean when I say that, at 1.7% dividend yield, it's not exciting. It's neither here nor there. Yes, at least they pay a dividend. I know there are lots of growth stocks that don't pay dividends. I think Lululemon is probably one of those. I don't recall a dividend at Lululemon. But with FedEx, you're not buying this for the 1.7% dividend yield. So I said, let's have a look at the share price performance. Now, as I indicated to you, over the last year, we've actually been up to above 30%, but it was actually around 8% just before these results. So very tepid, very steady kind of upside. And why do I say that? Is let's compare that to some of their competitors. And who are these competitors? Well, if we have a look at it, we've got UPS. That's the obvious one. We've got UPS and DHL. And over the same time period, UPS is actually down 16%. So the delta between UPS and FedEx is massive. And again, maybe the trade here was a relative trade. Maybe the trade was long FedEx, short UPS. How has DHL done? Because DHL, distinct from these US giants, FedEx and UPS, predominantly US giants, over the last year, DHL fairly flat, minus 3.5%. If we zoom out, if we actually have a look at this over the last 5 and then over the last 10 years, what does that look like? Because that should tell us something about the overall industry as well as the relative positioning over 5 years. Well, on the recent rally, yes, FedEx outperforming. It's up 62%. Again, I would say that's respectable for an old school, not a very exciting growth stock. Remember, FedEx is really symptomatic and indicative of what's happening in the underlying economy. That's why it's valuable for me as a macro indicator. And over 5 years, up 60% compared to UPS, 40%, and DHL, 30%. So what I read through from this, you can see the relative performance of the European economy versus the US economy. You can see the variance in terms of consumer spend. Then let's look at 10 years, because 10 years tells us a lot more, less about the macro, maybe more about the company's sustainability of management and so forth. And that's where this really comes through and shines. And FedEx, if you're looking at that, again, strong management team. We really like them when we cover the stock in detail. Up 113, call it 114% over the last 10 years, compared to just 60% in UPS. And then DHL, Europe, we know Europe's been disappointing versus the US. How disappointing? Well, only a positive 16%. So, and again, this is all constant. It is in US dollars. So yes, there will be some currency noise that comes through there. But this showing you A, the difference on a macro basis between Europe and the US, and then also in terms of delivery on strategy, strong cost cutting. I like FedEx. You know, would I buy it right now after a rally like this if I wasn't involved? I might be a little bit more sensitive. I'm concerned just around overall levels in the market. But I think it's one of those solid companies where if you get the timing right, you can actually find yourself a nice bottom drawer investment.
Yeah, Lululemon is no bottom drawer investment. Unfortunately, at this valuation multiple, you want to be paying a whole lot less before you can relax that much about it. So be very interesting to see how this pans out. And as I say, I just love the similarity to what we covered in Ferrari. You know, when a big multiple goes wrong, it can go wrong in a really, really big way. Ferrari is another good example. And now Lululemon. So we'll see what happens. Ferrari hasn't burst at all, actually. And if anyone's interested in understanding more about that, go and subscribe to Premium or go check it out if you are already a subscriber. But otherwise, I think it's been a great show, Mo, and two really interesting US companies as we encourage our listeners to lift their heads beyond their local markets. And I certainly look forward to doing again with you next week.
Indeed, Ghost. I mean, we always highlight the opportunities globally versus the opportunities in South Africa. It's just such a big subset when you look internationally. But what do you think as our listeners? Let us know. Hit us up on social media. It's at Magic Markets Pod, one word, at Finance Ghost and at Mohammed Nala, all on X. Or go and find us on LinkedIn and pop us a note on there. We hope you've enjoyed this. And if you haven't subscribed to Premium, it's the best value you're going to find out there. Only 99 Rand a month. Go and check it out. Until next week, same time, same place. Thanks and cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not financial or investment advice. Please speak to your personal financial advisor